Hebrews chapter number 4 this evening. Hebrews chapter number 4. As we've been still in our study, looking at God's Word, we're looking at perhaps a very familiar passage. I gotcha, Aaron. There we go. It helps when I turn my mic on. Hebrews chapter number 4, if you can hear me now. A very familiar passage to many of us as we're going to look at verse number 12 this evening. But as we consider, my title tonight is The Word Above All. And seeing the importance of God's Word and why it is so needed in our lives. We've argued this and talked about this in many different ways. And this is one of those passages, though, that we just cannot ignore. And it is so good. As we come and approach to God's Word, and I think of ministry, most ministers, most pastors, one of the greatest influences or desires in their ministry is that they could have a influence on others, an influence on young people, an influence that really seems to, we want to see the next young people. We want to see lives changed. We want to see marriages restored. We want to see individuals saved and discipled and growing. And that prospect of that potential excites us. And I believe it excites many of you. I know as we work with kids, and many of them, they're just excited to, hey, this kid got saved, and this kid is doing this or that, or this kid came up and said this, and we get excited about these things. And I begin tonight then, in light of that, asking a question. And the question is, what is it that changes lives? What is it that makes a difference in a person's life? Now, you know the answer. We've even talked some about this last week when we talked about the gospel or the Bible is needed for salvation. But it is much greater. It's built upon that. One of the most powerful sources of influence and truth that a man can have or take from ignorance to information or from sin to salvation really is found in the gospel or in the Word of God. God's Word makes all the difference in somebody's lives. The Word of God, the Scripture, the Bible, it has the power to change lives. Look at our passage this evening in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. God's Word says this, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." There is so much here, and we're going to try to unpack some of this, although we could go other directions and see more, but we're going to unpack what it says about God's Word here. The Word of God is described in this verse in many ways. It accomplishes many things. As we examine for a few moments this evening, we first need to consider what is being described here. The what, we see at the very beginning, for the Word of God. It is God's Word. It is the holy Word. It is the infallible Word, the inerrant Word. It is the comprehensive revelation of God that has been given to all of us. As we see in this canon here. It is the very breath of God. We have looked at that in the times past. It is God-breathed. It is inspired. It comes directly from Him. We see how God works through the Holy Spirit moving in men as they were writing and recording down Scripture. This is the Word of God that is being described here. So we start there. And Hebrews 4:12 tells us the Word of God, this Word of God is. Let's look at what it is tonight. The first thing we see tonight is the Word of God is living. The Word of God is living. As it begins, it says the Word of God is living and active. Living, I haven't memorized a different way. Perhaps you grew up, memorized a different way. The Word of God is quick and powerful. So I notice the word quick. The word quick literally means alive. You are quickened, you are alive, you are living. The Word of God is alive. It's not simply a book that is filled with commands or rules. It's not simply a book that just has wise principles. There are certain books we all have favorites. Some of us love Psalms, some love Proverbs, some love Acts. And there's many different reasons. There's things we get out of it. But it's more than just rules. It's more than just wise principles. It's more than just words to live by. All of those things can make somebody assume the Scripture is detached and distant, when it is ever much not the case. The Scripture is not inanimate. The Scripture is not just a book like you would pull out of the library. It is different than any other book because it is alive. It is breathing in a sense. The Word of God is living. It is the God of the universe revealing himself to mankind. Through the Holy Spirit's illumination, it is God the Father communicating with his children in an ongoing daily basis. You can receive this whenever it is opened. I have heard the Word of God. You can compare it really to a relationship the child of God describes in the same manner as if learning a different language. You ever try to learn a different language? I know some of you know different language. I remember in high school I was learning Spanish. Now, Miss Anna, don't get any ideas. I'm not good at it, all right? I remember as we'd be sitting there in Spanish 101, boy, that was easy, all right? I learned how to say, ¿Dónde está el baño? Okay? I learned the basics, the things I needed. Where is the bathroom? I learned how to say what my name is. Getting into Spanish 2, it starts to get a little harder, a little more difficult. We get into Spanish 3, and I remember the teacher would ask a question, and she would say, we had to pick a Spanish name. My name was Pablo, and she'd be like, Pablo, and ask me a question, and I would sit there, and I'm thinking. Now, it wasn't that I didn't know the answer, all right? It's that it took a long time for that translation to work in my head. This word means this, this word means this, this word means this. And before I could answer, she would give the answer for me. It wasn't that I didn't know. But then there's others in the class, they could ask the same question and they can rattle it off just like that. And you say, why is that? How does this happen? Well, when you think about it, when you first start to learn a language, very little communication is taking place. There's not a whole lot going on there. I'd go to the local Cuban restaurant down in Florida. I couldn't say much. I could give them a number. I could say tripleta. I could say a couple little things, but I couldn't have a conversation with them. When you first start learning a language, very little communication comes with. But as time goes by, the more times you're in the Word, the more times you're conversing in it, the more times you're having conversations and you're learning the nuances of the language and the structure of the languages, you start to understand more and you start to communicate more. Is that not the same way with Scripture? When you first get saved and you're looking at this and you're sitting in Sunday school class and you're going, boy, I don't know what Rodney is saying. I don't understand what my teacher is saying. But as you start to get them, know him a little more, as you start to get in Scripture and you've been a Christian for 2 years and 3 years and 4 years and you've been reading it and studying it, all of a sudden you start to know it and you can converse. It's the same way with Scripture. It reminds me of a time when we were first in North Carolina, the teacher James Harris, I couldn't understand a word that was coming out of his mouth. He was really like he was from Louisiana. It was just babble. By the time I left North Carolina, I could understand every word he said. It takes time. The Scripture is the same way. The more time you're in it, the more time you are bathed in the truth of Scripture and you realize it is alive and it is communicating, the more you understand it and that faith in it grows. It's not that God is saying anything more. It's not anything being added here, but your ability to understand and comprehend has grown. The scripture is alive because it is the very words of the living God. It's alive because it's an ongoing, lifelong conversation between you and the Lord. As God is talking to his children, you are understanding and you are growing. It doesn't just stop. You don't just read it through once and you got it. You are constantly growing and learning because God's word is alive. Life and the word of God are often coupled in scripture. Just a couple verses I want to throw up here for you. In John 6 and verse 63. Oops, that was our verse up there. You already have that. And John 6, 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." We see that life and the word of God go together. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, "But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Living and the word of God go together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. "Having purified your souls," we looked at this morning, "having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." And you see these two concepts are paired together throughout Scripture. God's word is alive. Secondly, this evening, God's word is active. And you see that in the second part of the verse there in Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of the Lord is living and active." Again, what has the power to change lives? It's the word of God. It is powerful. The word that is used here, the word active, it means powerful. It means operative. It means effective. It is alive and active. It is alive and powerful in the lives of those who are underneath God's word, who are spending time in it and learning from it. The word powerful is the Greek word that we get for energy. That is what is being said here. God's word is energetic. It is powerful. Why? Because it is backed by the Holy Spirit. It is backed by the power of the Almighty God. And do you know what it says in Romans 1:16? It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is what, church? The power of God. For salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." God uses the word, and whatever God wants done, he does through his holy word. That's how he changes us. That's how he molds us. God's word accomplishes many things. And you know, there's even a story of Charles Spurgeon, how God, through one simple word, can do something powerful. Listen to this story. It says, I pulled this. I should have marked where I pulled it from. This is not from me. But it says, "Did you know that C.H. Spurgeon was saved by one single word from the Bible? As a young lad of 16, under conviction of sin, he wandered into a small meeting house one Sunday morning. It was storming on the outside. He came into the church to get out of the storm. For some reason, the preacher did not come that morning. An old man got up who was a blacksmith and took a text from Isaiah 45, which says, 'Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else.' The old man spoke about 10 minutes and didn't have any more to say. He ran out of words to say, so all that he could say was, 'Look.' He pointed to the different ones who were there and told each one to look to the Lord. He pointed to Spurgeon and said, 'Look.' Spurgeon looked that morning and was saved. One word did it." And you see, God's word is powerful. God's word is active in this world today. It is still working. Isaiah 55, verse 10, I love this verse. Look, notice what it says. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God's word is actively going out. It is powerful, it is energetic, and it does work. The word of God is active and sufficient to accomplish and produce its ends. Should it be heard and should it be heeded? The word of God is how the Holy Spirit ministers to us. It's how the Holy Spirit is convicting, convincing us of sin, converting the soul. It's how God is comforting us and even condemning. It is alive. It is living. It is active. It is powerful. And thirdly, the word is revealing. The word of God is revealing. Our text continues and it describes it this way. It says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The text is describing the scripture as being sharper than any two-edged sword. And that is a vivid picture. Now, I have understood it in studies. It's describing the effects of a sword that's been sharpened on both sides. I had read somewhere about the type of weapon and how it was just brutal and it gave the Romans such a great advantage as there was no dull edge. It would cut deep into man upon its thrust. It may have had less mass. It had less drag and more cutting surface than was normal. But I couldn't quite picture that. Recently, even just yesterday, I heard from a DNR worker, and he was talking about the specifications of when you would go hunting with a bow and arrow. And he was describing this arrow. And he said, in West Virginia, you would have what's called a broadhead arrow. I don't expect you all to know this. I'm just learning this myself, all right? The joys of getting into hunting. But here is this bow, and it says it's broad. This broadhead arrow, it has to have a minimum of two sharp sides. Also, there's other minimums, but a minimum of two sharp sides. And you go, why is that? And he says, because you want those, it has to have those two sharp sides, so that when that arrow would hit the deer, it is the most effective. It takes the most effect. You don't just want to hurt the deer. You want it to have the most effect that it possibly can have. And so two sides have to be sharpened. One edge doesn't do the trick. A dull edge doesn't do the trick. It had to have two sharp edges, a double edge. And that is kind of what we're seeing here, except it's of a sword. It says it's sharper than two-edged sword. This sword that would have been extremely effective, or in my terms, an arrow that would be extremely effective. You notice what it's saying here? The word of God is sharper. The word of God is more effective. As brutal as these can be, as effective as these can be, they stand nothing to what the word of God can do. Now, the word of God doesn't just go physical of the joints and marrows. It goes further. It divides the soul and the spirit. It goes through so much more. It gets into the deepest depths of man's heart. And because God's word is living, because God's word is active, it is able to go past where even a skillful surgeon with a very sharp knife could possibly go. That's what this word can do. A skillful surgeon can take his knife. He can cut past tissue and bone. He can use his light to see in areas that have been unrevealed. And yet the word of God can do more. The word of God pierces past that physical aspect and goes to the spiritual side of man. The light of its truth will shine brightly, revealing the understanding and motivations of the mind. Did you notice how it finished there in verse 12? It says, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. A sword cannot do that. An arrow cannot do that. A surgeon cannot do that, but God's word can. In the scripture, the words heart, mind, soul, and spirit are often used interchangeably, simply communicating that inner nature of man. What Hebrews 4:12 is teaching is that the Word of God and it alone possesses the power to shine truth of what's going on in the inside. To shine a light on what is happening, it penetrates past the exterior and gets into what is really going on. Whatever sinful or unwise behavior that you may observe outwardly, whether or not it exists in your own life or the life of another, it has to be confronted with the Word of God. It's God's Word that'll get in there. It has to be done through Scripture because, again, the Scripture is alive. It's living. The Scripture is active and powerful, but the Scripture is able to get into the inner man where the root of the issue lies. It was once said, an illustration, Dr. Lockyer was his name. In one of his books, he tells a story of an Irishman. It says, someone gave this Irishman a New Testament. He had never read the Bible before and took it home and began to read it. He would read it after each meal in the evening. One evening he said to his wife, "Wife, if this book is true, then we are sinners and we are lost." The next night after supper he read again, and he said, "Wife, if this book is true, then we can be saved." He was getting closer and closer to the truth. He read it and read it until he understood what Christ had done for sinners. And with rejoicing in his heart, he went to his wife one evening and said, "Wife, this book is true, and I am saved." Only the Word of God can do that. Only the Word of God can show you what is really going on inside. It is only the Word of God is going to reach that sinful neighbor, child, friend, lost one. But also, this personal spiritual victory in your own life, Christian, is won and lost in the battleground of the mind. Now think of what Romans 12:2 tells us. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." God's Word needs to change your mind, your thinking. One of my favorite passages, I don't have it up here for us, is in Philippians chapter 4, where it tells us the things to put away and the things to think on. Renewing the mind. Outward transformation begins with an inward change. Ephesians 4 tells us that it talks of putting off the old nature of sin and putting on the new man. That new nature of Christ's likeness by, again, it tells us the renewing of your mind. Hebrews 8:10 tells us, "For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He talks about the change of our mind with his word. How about Psalm 119:111? "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Again, the change of the inner man through the Word of God. How about Luke 6 and verse 45? It says this, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." We need to allow God's Word to get in there to discern what's going on and allow God's Word to change us. The scripture actually, of my understanding, what I have been told, the scripture speaks of the heart and mind over 900 times. It makes it abundantly clear that God is concerned with your inner man, your heart, your mind. What do we see in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7? It tells us that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God, the Lord, looketh on the heart. You see, it is ultimately God is going to be judging the heart. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. "Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God." God is going to look at your heart and God will make determinations. I say all of that to say this. Do you want to make a difference in the lives of others? Do you want to make a difference in the lives of young people? Maybe your neighbors, your friends, or coworkers? Do you want to make a difference in their lives? Do you desire for God to use you? To allow you to be a tool for Him, to have an influence on others? Well, here's the first thing you need to know. You need to first allow God and His instruction to have an influence on you. You need God's Word to be changing you. What did Jesus tell you in Matthew 22:37? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Your heart, your innermost being, needs to be devoted to God. You need to allow His Word to get in there. How is God's Word going to be active in your life? How is it going to get into to divide the soul and spirit and the thoughts and the intentions of the heart? It's going to do it by you being in it. You must allow God's Word to work in you. And you must examine your heart, allow the light of God's Word to shine into your life first, and then you can point others to the truth of God's Word. Think of these truths of God's words. What did we looked at this. Oh, I don't have this up there for you. We looked at it last week in Romans 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. We looked at that last week briefly, but then we got into Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need the Word of God to be active. Albert Barnes said this about the Word of God. He says, the truth of God is not dead. The truth of God is not dead. It's not nor fitted to make man worse, nor designed merely to show its own weakness, or to be a mere occasion on which the Holy Spirit acts on the mind. It is in its own nature fitted to produce just the effects which are produced when it awakens, convicts, converts, and sanctifies the soul. And you see, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your age or gender. It doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't even matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your struggles are. It doesn't even matter what you're feeling at the moment. God's Word is exactly what you need. You need to be in there. You need God's Word to be getting into the hidden places and making a difference in your life. It is all you need because it is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You see, the Word of God only reveals what we are and what we are not. It has the power of truth that can change you even to the deepest of levels. Merely attempting to improve our spiritual lives by trying just to avoid sinful habits is not enough. You don't believe me? Let me tell you, I've tried. I would wager most of us have tried. We say one day, you know what, I'm going to stop this. And we try and we fail and we wonder, why is this not working? I remember as a kid, for a long time, I had a problem with my language. I would say things I shouldn't say, words that would make your mother blush. I would tell the dirty jokes with all the other kids at school. And then I would just decide, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I would make that determination. I'd get to school a day or two later, and wouldn't you know it, I'd get mad at somebody, and a four-letter word would come out. Friends, you can't do it on your own. You can try. You might be successful for a short time, maybe days or weeks. It's the Word of God, though, that changes you. Maybe you're not doing stuff physically and where others can see, but inside those same words are still there. Those same thoughts, those same intentions, those same desires. We need the Word of God to work in our hearts and our lives. Merely attempting to improve our spiritual lives by just ceasing sinful habits isn't enough. By just adopting godly habits, you know what? I'll just go to church. That was one of those things I hated the most. I remember one time I was there at church. It was a Sunday night. We were in teen group. And all of a sudden, it was odd. Here was my friend Joe. And I'm like, Joe, why are you here today? You know what Joe said? He says, I was punished. And so my parents made me go to church today. Friends, godly habits doesn't change you. I don't know where Joe is today, but I never saw it work in his life, just going and being at church with a godly habit. No, it is not godly habits. It's not just ceasing from sin. Those are just temporary at best. We need to strive for interchange that comes through God's Word. God in His wisdom and mercy has given us His Word so that we may know Him, so that His truth may abide in us. God has spoken to us and God is speaking to us on a daily basis. It is always there available to you no matter what time of day. The question is not, is God speaking? The question is not, is God there? The question is, are you listening to God? Are you hearing and obeying the truth of God's Word? Do you love and treasure the Scriptures? Do you study it? Do you meditate on it? Do you regularly spend time and consistently thinking about it? If the answer is no, there's a good chance you are struggling spiritually. And maybe you're losing some spiritual battles. Apart from the Word of God, there is no hope. There's no help. There's no healing. But yet within these pages, there exists the power to overcome many obstacles. I'm not saying it's going to heal the disease. You've heard me say that probably 20, 30, 40 times. That's not what it does. But God's Word changes you. Let's read it again. Verse 12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Tonight, if you are struggling, if there is sin in your life, if you need victory, if you need hope, if you need salvation, the Word of God is the answer. Come. Somebody would be happy to meet and talk with you. If not me, I know there are others here who would love just to meet with you and encourage you, to help you along in this struggle. We are one another Christians. We come alongside of you, not to judge you or cut you down, but to get into God's Word with you and help. Will you allow God's Word to change you? There is hope in His Word for you. Maybe you don't treasure the Word of God like you ought to, but you can come and be thankful to God that He has given you His Word. Let's pray. Lord, this evening, in but a few words, Lord, in just a short amount of time, we have seen the wonders of Your Word. How it can determine and see what's going on better than anybody else can. Your Word reaches and impacts and convicts of sin when others have no idea what is going on. Thank You that Your Word is living. Thank You that Your Word is active. And thank You that Your Word is revealing. Lord, I don't know a soul in this room or around the world that doesn't need Your Word tonight. Whether it's for salvation or for living right before You. So may we treasure it. May we hide Your Word in our hearts. May we live by it each and every day. For in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brother Jeff, would you lead?
Let's all stand, please, as we sing. You'll know we are Christians by our love. We'll sing a couple of verses again tonight.